In the name of the one who was born among us. Amen. So when I read that gospel, I cannot help but think what it must be like as a parent. Child, what have you done to us? And you can kind of relate to the anxiety and the frustration that they must have felt. But I want to do a thought experiment with you, because what the story that Luke is telling flows out from his beginning. Each gospel writer tells a different beginning. And this 12-year-old story is about a child who grew up in divine and human favor and would become the Christ, who was the Christ and would become the Christ. Each gospel comes out of people trying to tell the story of how it all began. I think it's appropriate on January 4th, our first Sunday back with the new year, to talk about beginnings. And where do you begin but the beginning? So I wanted to think with you what it must have been like in the year 40 AD. Jesus had been born, he grew up, he was killed, and he was raised from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And then it's now seven years after that time, and the disciples are trying to figure out what to do with all this. And they would meet somebody in the road, and they'd say, "He is risen." Who? Who's risen? Jesus. You know, Jesus, he's risen from the dead. Well, who's that? Well, you know, there was this guy back a few years ago who got in trouble in Jerusalem. He's the one that's risen. Well, why was he killed? Well, he got in crosswise with the authorities, and he did signs and wonders that made people frustrated and made people amazed. That's what got him killed. Well, where's he from? Oh, you know, he was born in Bethlehem, but he's from Nazareth. Well, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, let me tell you how he got there. And so you can see pretty quickly, it gets a little exhausting to keep telling the story and backtracking. I think that's why we have the Gospels today. Is because there was a bunch of these early followers of Jesus who were trying to tell and retell the story, and at some point, they needed to put it down on paper so they could all kind of agree about it. There was this oral tradition that was kind of, that was working out over time. So different communities like Mark and Matthew and the communities of John and Luke, they were all trying to sort of say, what is the story of Jesus? They really didn't have much to go on, right? They had the stories that were passed down to them from the early disciples, and many of the disciples were still alive, but a lot of them were new people coming in. And they wanted to hear the story too, and they wanted to tell the story. And so I propose to you on this season of new beginnings, I want to talk about the beginnings of the Gospels. So it's 40, let's say, and they've been telling the story about Jesus being raised from the dead, and then there's some tumult going on in the culture around them. The Jewish community is getting really upset at the way Rome is treating them, would lead to the destruction of the temple in 70. But before that, they're saying, he is risen. Well, who is risen? Jesus is risen. And they would go through and they'd backtrack the story. And Mark is the first person to really put the gospel text down. So this is maybe 60 AD. So 25, 30 years after Jesus has been raised from the dead, they finally said, we're going to put something on paper so we can finally get this all straight. And Mark would tell the story. And Mark had a particular way to begin. And in his story, it's all about the prosopon. The prosopon means forerunner. John the Baptist was preparing the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was the most important thing for Mark to start with, because he is the one who is pointing to Jesus. That's a pretty good start, right? But Matthew comes along and says, man, you know, I like Mark, but I'm gonna tell you how where it really starts. And so Matthew says, there is this Jesus who was born in the house of David. Let me give you the genealogy of him. And then this Christ child who was born is completely connected to his ancestors. That's a pretty good start too, right? Well, Luke looks at Matthew and Mark and says, he'd never met Jesus. And he looks at Matthew and Mark and says, well, that's a pretty good story. I like that. But I'm gonna try to write down an orderly account, is what he says. Let me sit down and write an orderly account of the gospel of Jesus. So he looks at these scriptures and he says, I like Mark's start and I like Matthew's start, but I think we need to go back a little bit further. Let's start with the Annunciation. Let's start when Mary is being announced by the archangel Gabriel that she has conceived a child of the Holy Spirit. And his beginning informs everything else he does. That's when we come to the scripture today. You've got Luke, and Luke is telling the story about the 12-year-old Jesus who grew up in divine and human favor. And it is all because of where Luke begins. This child who was announced by the angels, who was of holy goodness and favor, grew up out of that favor, and at 12 years old, he astonished the elders, infuriated his parents, and it was the one who has had wisdom and favor in his life. So that beginning informs Luke. Then John comes along, the Gospel of John, give or take, maybe 20 years later, and he says, you know, I'm going to trump all y'all. I'm going to go back to the real way beginning. I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He didn't even mess with baby Jesus. Didn't really mess with John the Baptist, a little bit. But his focus was, let's go back to the cosmic beginning. And each of these gospel writers told this story from a very particular vantage point, right? Now, if you read just one of them by themselves, you'd have a pretty clear picture of Jesus. But the focus sharpens when you read all four. Because each of them are kind of attacking the problem of telling the story of who is risen in different ways. And they go back, and their origin stories tell a particular way that Jesus worked in the lives of the people that they had known. So that brings me to our own stories. In the Latino community, there's a saying that you are the fifth gospel. I've said this before, but I think it's worth saying again. That your life, you walking around, you living your life, is the fifth gospel. And it is as important as the other four gospels. Because you, as followers of Jesus, represent Scripture in the world. You represent the Spirit in the world. You represent the living Christ in the world. And I think that should scare us just a little bit. Right? You are representatives of Christ. You are citizens of heaven, and you are emissaries to the world. And if that doesn't freak you out a little bit, you're not really paying attention. Because there's a heavy responsibility. If we call ourselves followers of Jesus, we should actually live like that, reflect that kind of mercy, and tell the story of Jesus, not only in our mouths, but in our actions and our deeds. That's the whole gospel. Thought, word, and deed. Telling the story of who is risen. Well, Jesus is risen. Well, why was he risen? Because I needed a Savior. Why did you need a Savior? Because, well, you know, I didn't always do things right. And you can keep going back to, where does the story of Jesus begin in your own lives? Now, a lot of times, we really favor the stories that are dramatic. We love the gutter stories. Do you know what I mean? Oh, man, I made a mess of my life. You would have seen what I did in college. Oh, it was terrible. And then after college, I made a wreck of my life, and then I found myself back, or flat on my back, nowhere to go, and then Jesus showed up. Now, this is a really good story, right? It's we love to hear these stories. But that's not the only story, nor is that the best story. So if you've gone through your life and you haven't just sort of completely collapsed and fell flat on your back and bottomed out and turned your life around and gave it to Jesus, that's okay. It's not like somehow that those stories hold more water than other stories. But if you're like most Episcopalians, if somebody says, well, who is Jesus to you? You go, well, I don't know. I was raised in the church and I take communion every Sunday and I really like church and I love the people that I'm with. I would challenge you to articulate your faith. The Gospels in the New Testament says we should be able ready to give an account for our faith, to give an account of what is the hope that resides within us. Now, this is not like, oh my gosh, I got to go out and do you know Jesus, right? And make Jesus into three or four syllables, but articulate your faith. It's what will make you a better follower of Jesus. Because you know, or I know, when I share my faith, when I tell my story, I am refreshed. And the people who hear it are refreshed. And the body of Christ is refreshed by telling our stories. So on this day of new beginnings, I would challenge you, invite you, to think about where is the beginning point for Jesus in your life? Maybe it's that dramatic kind of Pauline, knocked on your horse, Damascus Road experience where you found yourself with nowhere to turn and nowhere to go, and there's Jesus pulling you out of the swamp. Okay, that's great. You've got an easier job than some of us. But for those of you who have a harder time articulating that, I want you to think about this week. Pray about this week is, where has Jesus carried you through your life? Where has a medical emergency put you on your knees where you had to trust in him? Where has a family member kind of gone haywire that you had nowhere to turn except him? Where have you found an experience where you could not have done it without his mercy and his help and his grace? That's a good place to start. And then tell and share your stories. Amen.